Praise Jesus' holy name. I lift you up on high. So as we come to you this morning, I'd just like to bow my head and pray with you. And I ask you to pray with me and pray for me in Jesus' name. Father God, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we bless your holy name. We give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to do for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we know that you haven't failed us yet. You'll never fail us. We believe and we trust and we know, Lord, in all of our heart and our soul that you can never fail. That is not a word in your vocabulary. So, Father, I ask you this morning to touch the sick. I ask you to touch those that are hurting emotionally and socially. Those that are hurting spiritually. I pray in the name of Jesus that you reach out and send your angels down and just touch them. I pray for families this morning. I pray, Lord, that as they continue to come together, Lord, that there's a bond, Lord, that you have always wanted to be there. So, Father, I pray this morning that you bless our seniors, our elders this morning, Lord, our grandparents, our mothers, our dads, our uncles, our aunts. I pray that you bless them this morning in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I ask this morning that you bless each and everyone that hears this message today. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, that they will be blessed and they will be encouraged in the mighty name of Jesus. So we praise you and we thank you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had some kind of remorse? I know that there's remorse. Sometimes we say some things and we wish that we could bring it back. Sometimes we buy some things and we get buyer's remorse and we want to take it back. We start to doubt whether or not we made the right decision. Maybe whether we said the right thing. Sometimes we think about the things that we've done, that we've said, that we've brought, and it gives us a queasy feeling inside, and sometimes we get sick. And then we start to doubt the decisions and the choices that we make. Today, I'd like to speak to you about a person in the Bible. And they're kind of familiar with wondering whether or not they made the right choice. It's about one man's struggle about his life's decisions. There are times that we will struggle with our life decisions. We'll struggle with the choice and the decision that we made. And when we struggle with that, it can then cause confusion and opposition. This man that I want to talk to you today about, his name is John the Baptist. And we know that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. The Bible says, if we go to Mark, the first chapter, and we read verses 1 through 8, it reads as thus. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. John was known as a wild one. But it wasn't his appearance that made him wild. It was his internal defiance against the worldly system of complacency, a lack of energy, and a lukewarmness. He had held to the truth and the commitment to God that landed John eventually in jail. So here is John the Baptist. He's doing everything right, but was getting ready to suffer for doing the right thing. This is the John that told everybody about the Lamb of God who was about to take away the sins of the world. He was to tell everybody about Jesus. This is the same John that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. This is the same John that said that he must decrease, that he must increase, Jesus must increase, and John must decrease. This was a rugged individual. I doubt if John was around today that John would be one sitting at home during this virus on his computer. John would be one of the working class that would want to be out there on the truck delivering goods. John would want to be on the front lines doing hard work, lifting boxes and lifting crates and driving machines around. John was one of those type of man, an outdoors man. John wasn't an indoors man. When John wanted something to drink, he would go down to the river and lift his hand in there and get something to drink. When John wanted something to eat, he would find something in the wilderness to eat. John, when he wanted company, he would sit in the wilderness with a listening ear to God. When John wanted to relax, John would sit in the center of God's will. But now we are about to find out in Matthew that John's world was about to change. John's world would no longer be the world that he grew up in, the world that he loved. There was going to be a drastic change. The Bible in Matthew 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6, reads as thus. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Leopards are cleansed, and the deaf hear, And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John's world was shrunken to cold stone walls, all within an arm's reach. The only light John could see was probably a hole somewhere in his cell. But the Bible said that John had heard in prison about the deeds of Christ. Now, I want you to take note here that when Matthew wrote this, he says John heard of the works of Christ. Matthew did not say John heard of the works of Jesus. Matthew says John heard of the works of Christ. Remember that the Bible is written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when this was written, the word to describe Jesus was Christ, which used the title as the anointed one. The implication is that John, who was familiar with the writings of the prophets, was hearing of the works being done by the Messiah. So what we have here is that John is in prison and he's hearing the works that Jesus is doing that would mark the ministry of the anointed one. Yet even though John knew all of this, he still sent his disciples to go ask Jesus this question. Are you the expected one? Or shall we look for somebody else? I know today with so many things going on, people might be looking for something else. But John, as powerful as he was, as much as he meant to us as the forerunner of Christ, he found himself in a situation where he had to ask, are you the expected one? You see, John, when he sent his disciples, John had been in prison about a year. John had spent his whole life preparing himself and others for the coming of the Messiah. But as soon and not long after the Messiah came, his and fulfillment had came to pass. John was dragged off and he would suspend his last days. Imposed in seclusion. He was denied to see the progress of the Redeemer. He seemed like he was casted off like an old garment, discarded like a pawn who had only made way for the king. I want to stop right there for a second because we have to realize that in our walk with Christ, he has us here for a purpose. He has us here for a reason. He has us here for a season. And at that time, that John didn't recognize that reason. But he didn't recognize the season. So I say that he didn't know the reason, but he didn't recognize the season that he was here for. Are you the expected one? John had predicted the coming of the expected one. John, impatient now in jail, was hoping that maybe those words would incite Jesus to do something on his behalf. This course that Jesus was taking was different from the one that John, even John himself, thought that the Messiah would take. Jesus Christ at that time didn't even say that he was the Messiah. He did not even say yet that he was the king. John probably thought that why don't he destroy the power of the Romans? He is the Messiah. Why doesn't he destroy Herod? Why doesn't he release me, John, his blood cousin from prison. So here, John was the forerunner of two different things. John was the forerunner of Christ, who would profess that there is one coming after me that's greater than I. And then here, again, John was the forerunner of the very things that the Jewish people would say and feel on that Palm Sunday, that resurrection week, when they thought that Jesus has come to remove the power of the Romans and to remove Pilate from office. John sent his own disciples because John was confused. It was now that John was starting to have some doubt. I believe being in prison messed up John's mind. How is it that I do the right thing and I get punished for it? How is it that I was sent here for a purpose and I've done my purpose? I want to see my reward. How is it now that I'm punished? I believe right now there's people that are feeling like they're punished for doing the right thing. I feel like there's people right now that are imprisoned in their thoughts. That if God is God, why are these things happening right now? I know that there's people who are losing loved ones and people are dying and getting sick. How could God allow these things to happen? I've spent my life doing the right thing and serving the Lord. How can he allow this to happen? John wanted to know. Maybe I missed something in reading what the prophets had said. Maybe I misinterpreted what I should have done or who I should have been looking for. You know, sometimes as we go through things, our mind starts playing tricks on us. He gave his whole entire life to announcing the Messiah. Was he wrong about Jesus? But I want you to listen to the answer that Jesus gave to John's disciples. I want you to listen to the message that he sent them back with. Because the scripture says, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. You see, Jesus didn't tell them to go tell them what he said. He turned around them, you go tell them what you see. Tell them what you heard. You're not in prison. You're walking around. You see the mighty works that I've done. You hear the mighty works that I've done. You tell them. Oh, hallelujah. The blind receive their sight. You heard it. You saw it. You go tell them. The lame walk. You saw it. You heard it. You tell them. The leopards, they're cleansed. You saw it. Go tell them. The deaf hear. You heard it. You saw it. You tell them. And the dead were raised up. You saw it. Tell them. Tell them that the poor have heard the good news. That even those people, those that everybody else just seems to ignore, I preach to them. You saw it. You heard it. You go tell them. Jesus doesn't always give us a simple yes or no answer. Amen? He does more than that. Jesus answers with results. Jesus did not answer John's question directly. There's something about Jesus and his demeanor and his language, as if proven to John. John, you need to have faith. You knew all of these things. You preached all of these things. You lived the life of all of these things. Don't start doubting me now. The climax of all that Jesus did is telling them, I preached to the poor. I preached to the ones that everybody ignored, that everybody felt was unworthy of being able to have quote unquote religion. I preach to the down and out. I preach to the beggars. I preach to the ones that had all kind of infirmities. I preach to the ones that had issues of blood. I preach to the ones that didn't believe. I preach to them all, but I preach to the poor. What Jesus did at that time was let John know that he was preaching to all of mankind. Go back and tell John what you hear. Go back and tell John what you see. Go back and tell John everything that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is doing. Comfort him with those words. But wait a minute. Tell him this. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Tell John he's going to be blessed. Because in those prison walls, people are going to be saying, John, where is your God? Where is your Messiah? Where is your deliverer? Where is your redeemer? Even in prison, John was no different than us. Even in prison, John was probably being ridiculed, mocked. John, where is your redeemer? Tell him. He'll be blessed, and don't be offended by loving me, by knowing me, by being faithful to me. In the original language, if I had to really interpret what that meant, it means, John, don't let all of the things that are going on, don't let all the mocking and the things that you're going through right now, don't let being in prison be a stumbling block to your faithfulness, to all that you work for, to all that you believed. John, like many of us at times, stumbled, but he wasn't falling. He asked the question, but he never denied him. He never denied that Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. But he had stumbled just a little bit. Jesus wanted John to know, don't let this be a stumbling block. And we today, we can't criticize John for stumbling. We can't criticize John for doubt. But there's so much that we can learn from this dark period of John's life about life and death and faith. And the most obvious is being faithful in the most assured God that we could ever have. We can see that the most spiritual of all men, one of the most spiritual of all men that ever lived, had some doubt due to the circumstances that he was under. That some of his focus had shifted just a little bit. Eden always tries to refocus our eyes and always is trying to tempt us away from the master's plan. I want you to know this morning that no matter what it is, that the master has a plan. And you are included in the master's plan right here in life. Even in the situation that we're going through right now, the master has a plan. And you're part of the master's plan. Consider John in the master's plan. The Bible said that even in the womb, God had a plan for John. That even in the womb, John in his mother's womb, Jesus in his mother's womb, that when the two women came together, that the baby jumped for joy. Oh, hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit was there and the baby knew. This is the Christ that I'm near. He might be my earthly cousin, but this is the Lamb of God that I'm near. That is why John able to go out into the wilderness and shout, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is why he could go out and shout, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John himself was there after Jesus was baptized and heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, hallelujah. But even then, even after all of that had been passed, and now doubt had set in after a year. So you could be doing things for many years. And then all of a sudden, there's some persecution. There's something that goes on. And John said, are you the expected one? Or shall we look for someone else? This pandemic season has taken its toll on so many people. It's been cruel for many of us. Stay at home. Shelter in place. Maintain social distance. Parents are in hospitals and nursing homes, and you're told, stay at home. You can't come see them. Our parents are, and people that we know and love are in hospices. Stay at home. You can't come here. Shelter in place. Maintain social distance. Circumstances are not very friendly these days. This COVID has turned our world upside down. Our lives are all crossways. Never, 2 years ago, never would we have thought that the world would be like it is today. A year ago, never would we have thought that things are like they are today. Unrest, unemployment, unnerving situations, circumstances exist, uncertain futures. Many feel that they just don't deserve this. Many feel that nothing is going right. Many feel that everything is just falling apart. In spite of our best intentions, in spite of our best plans, you've been putting down on that new house. You've been saving up for that car. You've been planning that graduation, that marriage ceremony. You've been planning that 50th anniversary, that reunion that you knew that you were going to go to. You were planning all of these things. But God had a different plan. And I say that we must always trust the master's plan. There are times when our greatest intentions go horribly wrong. There are times when we feel and know how John must have felt while he was in prison. That we serve the Lord that the best that we can. That we give him all glory and all praise the best that we can. That we make sacrifices to Jesus, our Lord, the best that we can. But somehow, after doing all of these things, things still get out of control. That we still get blindsided. That we get overwhelmed with situations. And I know today people are feeling overwhelmed with this situation. We had given everything, and we seem like we lost it all in just a couple of months. There's a lot of confusion that's going on, and we feel like we're in a prison cell, just like John was. Some of us might be having second thoughts today. Well, as believers, we don't really need to ask if Jesus is the Messiah. And I don't really think that that is what John really wanted to know. I think that John really, what he really wanted to know, and what John's question really was, is the same as ours today. Why are not our prayers of desperation that mean so much to me, the things that we are praying about? Why, God, why have you not delivered us from this prison? Are you not the God? Are you not the promised king? Are you not the Jesus, the Christ, that have done many and mighty things through the works of your hands? Your title is deliverer. Why haven't you delivered us out of this prison? When are we going to be vindicated? When are we going to be let loose? If I am a child of the God of creation, if I am his child, when are you going to disperse your power to deliver us? Whether those are your words or not, I can give you a word that can describe all of that. Why? And you take that why and you can put whatever you want behind it. But when you have that word why, you have all of those other situations behind it. And I will admit to you this morning that there is things that will go on even in my life where I will say why. Why do bad things happen to good people? Jesus, I give you everything that I am, and I just give it all to you. But why? But when we find ourselves in those places, I want to give you a what instead of a why. The what is what you should do. What you should do is you should cry out to Jesus and say, I don't know why, but I trust you. You can say, Jesus, I don't know what is going on, but I trust you. There was a man one time that brought his son to Jesus to cast out an evil spirit. He told Jesus, if you can help my son. Jesus said, if I can, a very indignant, I would suppose, if I can. But do you believe? Not if I can. It's do you believe? You see, and the man cried out. He didn't repeat. He didn't just say. He didn't just talk. The Bible says, and the man cried out, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. When we cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, I trust you. Say, Jesus, I believe and I trust you. You see, when you look over your life and you see what Jesus has already done, look at your life, see what Jesus has done, and say, Jesus, I believe and I trust you. When Jesus gave those answers to, when he answered John's disciple, he's saying to them, look over your life. Look over and see what I have done. And go tell it. Go tell it what you saw. Tell John what I've done. No matter how hard we try in our life to be better, to be different, to overcome, had it not been for Jesus on your side, you couldn't have done it. And I say that to all of those who believe in a higher power too. Because there's no power that's higher than the Most High Jesus. Jesus answered John's questions. It's okay. But don't let this be a stumbling block. I say to you today, don't let doubt and fear be a stumbling block to you today. Jesus, throughout all the Gospels, respond favorably. He always shows favor to any request of faith. Jesus used those words so many times. Do you believe? There are times that Jesus would heal, but if there was any disbelief around, he wouldn't heal in front of disbelief. He only healed in belief. He healed in faith. Even in his own hometown, Jesus left because they did not believe. He did not perform miracles. He had to leave to where people have faith and would believe and trust in him. Jesus, he healed faith, I will be cleansed. He told Jairus, your daughter is not dead, but she's only sleeping. He told Mary and he told Martha, your brother shall rise again. Here, he sends to John, you knew what to look for before, and now you're hearing that it has come. Now hold on to your faith and don't stumble. Before I go on, I just want to tell you that after the messengers leave, Jesus turns to the people and lifts his servants up in high praise. He says John was one of the greatest men to walk the earth. So even though John had a stumble, Jesus still lifts him up. He still tells the people, don't look down on him. He's one of the greatest men to ever walk this earth. That is God's grace, my friends. I want you to know that. I want you to know that sometimes we'll go through some things and he might chastise us, but he's still Jesus. He may have on occasion rebuked us with his spirit, with his word. Sometimes he does that to get us back on track. Sometimes he does it to strengthen our faith. Sometimes he does it to correct our focus. Sometimes he does that to let us know who he is. And he's still Jesus. It might have encouraged John if Jesus had sent those words to him that he used when he told Peter. You see, because Peter at times had some doubts. But at one time, Jesus told Peter this, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Two very important words, now and hereafter. The now can be so dark. The now can be hung over with dark clouds and gloom that we can hardly see sometimes what Jesus is all about. Sometimes we can't see what his purpose is. Sometimes we don't understand what it is that he's doing. But through faith and endurance, the now will become light. The now will become bright. The light of the hereafter, we'll see more in the by and by. And we understand more of what he has done and what he did back then. The scripture says, for momentary light affliction is producing us for an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Be careful not to stumble over him, believer. He's still Jesus. The day of his power is coming when we shall all rise in his resurrection. We all shall be transformed into an image, into his image. Be happy with what God is doing right now. Don't stumble today, but believe. Oh, look over your life and see the things that he has done. Look at how he has stepped in for you and changed you. Look at how his past actions has transformed and conformed your life. I'm asking you today to make a firm decision on the choosing to believe who he is. Choose to believe in Jesus and who he say he is. Choose to believe in Jesus and what he said he would do. Choose to believe in him no matter what may come, no matter what may. Trust him that he is everything that he says that he is. And he is still Jesus. Know that he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. That he is the bright and morning star. Know that he is the bread of life, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, the chief cornerstone, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Rock, the door, the way, the truth, the word, that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He alone is worthy. He is still Jesus. I want to remind you today of Isaiah 41:40 and 31. It promises us that if we learn to wait on the Lord, we will not faint. We will run and not grow weary. Be patient. Endure until he moves. When we learn to live just beyond the moment, he will renew our strength. I want to say that everything that is happening is in the promises, is in the revelation of what Christ and the book of the word of God says is going to happen. And so far, God has done everything that he said that he is going to do. He loves you more than you ever know. He cares about you. He's trustworthy. Trust in Jesus today. He's still Jesus. He still waits for all to come to him in faith and to receive forgiveness of your sins. He's going to come in glory to give us everlasting life. It is time for all of us to receive salvation, to have faith and trust that he's still Jesus. It's time for us to learn to be patient and to grow with him and to learn and to grow to be like him, to be conformed in his image. We suffer all the day long, knowing that our reward is not now, but later. So today, I always say to you, and I always ask, if you don't know the Lord, that today can be your day of salvation. And I personally say this to you because if you know anything about me, I always say there were loved ones in my life that during a time of their passing that I didn't even know, I had to question whether or not I specifically asked them, do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? And I made a promise to the Lord and to myself that there's never going to come a time that I preach or I teach a word that I would not offer salvation to somebody or to someone. Because it's free and it doesn't cost me anything. And your choice will not mar my crown. But my crown will be marred if I don't ask you, do you know him? So I ask you today, do you know him? And if you would love to know him, if you would like to know him, if you would want to receive salvation, close your eyes and repeat after me. Father God, I am a sinner and I have sinned. Father, I believe that you are of a virgin birth, that you were crucified, that you died on the cross, that you were buried and you rose on the third day. And because you rose, that you conquered death. And because you rose again, Lord, that we can have eternal life. And Father, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me of everything that I have ever done or said that was not of you. I pray, Lord, for your forgiveness. I ask you, Lord, to save me and to forgive me. And because you have forgiven me, I believe that I am saved and I can have eternal life. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name. I believe that I am born again. If you have repeated those words and you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, you can call him Savior. You are saved and you today are a friend of Christ. May God bless you. May he keep you. He is the only one to keep you perfect until the day that he returns. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I ask you to continue to pray for me, and I will continue to pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
You have been listening to the Cathedral of Higher Praise with Pastor Dr. Philip Boone. To contact the church or Dr. Boone, please write the Cathedral of Higher Praise, 155 Grand Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut, 06513, or call at 1-203-776-7676. That's 203-776-7676. Or contact the cathedral online at www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. That's www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. For Dr. Philip Boone and the Cathedral of Higher Praise family, I've been Brother Johnny Williams. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.